6:07 on this Wednesday, November 8th, 2017, as we sit around waiting for the rain. Hope we get some. I'm not so sure. I'm Dave Congleton, and this is Hometown Radio. We're here all the way until 7 o'clock tomorrow. I remind you that Steve Larian will be here from Cal Poly Arts, talk about upcoming shows, give away some free tickets. We're also going to meet some of the residents who have decided to go to court to try to block this Avila Ranch housing development. Annie Lorenzen will be here on Friday. It is a Dave Congleton show, always your hometown radio talk show. Always good to have blogger Matt Hoy with us. You can read his work at hoystory.com. Lance Parker was here Monday talking about the tragedy in Texas and the ongoing debate about guns. I want to continue that conversation with some slightly different angles. Anyway, Matt, hi. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Dave.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
There are no words for Sunday.
It's
no words.
It breaks your heart. It really does. It's, you know, no words. No words. It's horrible.
As someone, my lack of religion is well known, but you should be safe in your place of worship.
It'd be nice if that were
true. And you should be safe with your family.
And that were true, too. Yeah, it's... This is, you know, you had the Charleston church shooting. You had another church shooting a month or so ago that I believe some people were wounded, but no one was killed.
Right.
You had one in Colorado 2 or 3 years ago where 3 people were shot and killed at a church. I think it's seen by, you know, people intent on doing evil is, you know, that's some place where you can... Large numbers of people gather. I think the assumption is that very few or none of them are armed at a church service, and it becomes a soft target.
I have a friend who contributes to the show, law enforcement here, and he retired in Idaho, and he would call in, and he's the head of security for his church.
Mm-hmm.
And every Sunday, Matt, or any time they have a ceremony, there are 4 armed men. And they check people as they come in. They patrol during the service. I was thinking, geez, but now.
Well, that one a few years ago in Colorado where 3 people were killed, it was the shooter was stopped by a member of that church's security who was a former law enforcement officer, had a concealed carry permit, and you know she was the person that stopped what could have been a massacre.
Let's talk, though, about the media, start with the media coverage and how the media has covered this event. I know you have some thoughts about that.
The media covers anything related to guns very poorly out of a deep well of ignorance. Today, USA Today put out on Twitter a 90-second little informative video about the AR-15 rifle and what some common and uncommon attachments you can have for it. You can put a red dot sight on it. You can put undercarriage shotgun mount, which is pretty rare. But when that's used, it's usually used for breaching a door by like SWAT teams. They'll use the shotgun round to breach the door, and then they've got the AR-15. And at about 1 minute into the video, they showed the chainsaw bayonet. So normal bayonet's basically a knife that attaches to the end of the rifle.
Right.
USA Today showed an image of the chainsaw bayonet. Now, the chainsaw bayonet is a very famous attachment. It was first created 10 years ago for the video game Gears of War. It is not a real thing. But
USA Today thought it was real.
Well... They put out a clarification saying that, well, these are not necessarily common modifications. There is no commercially available chainsaw bayonet. I mean, if you're in your garage, you can probably kludge something together,
right.
But it's not useful.
Right.
But you get that sort of ignorance.
Is the national media anti-gun in their coverage?
Yeah, for the most part. And the thing is, they could do a whole lot better. If they just bothered, and there are people all the time who are part of kind of the right-wing media, or there are gun blogs like The Truth About Guns or Bearing Arms, where there are writers for those kind of gun-focused sites who are more than willing to take out, you know, members of the media to a gun range and explain all this stuff. And they just don't care enough, I guess, to be informed about it.
But on the other side of the coin, to be fair here, some right-wing news sites were quick to try to paint this as the guy, the shooter, was Antifa, and they were making some assumptions right away.
Yep. And that, and
so it goes up and down the spectrum.
That's Breitbart.com, which has, you know, fallen a long way from where its founder kind of originally started that site, I think. Right. There's fake news there, but honestly, I expect, you know, as a former newspaper man, I expect a lot more out of USA Today than I do out of, you know, InfoWars.
I'm not defending either one. I'm not defending either one. But with the internet and people make rush judgments and people read it and, oh, it must be true, and it gets picked up.
There was an article in a San Francisco Weekly magazine back a few years ago talking about assault weapons and assault weapon bans, and they had a graphic that they put with this article that listed all sorts of assault weapons, including, I believe it's the EA-5B assault rifle. Standard magazine on that is 36 rounds, and it was developed in 2554 by the United Nations Space Command in the Halo video games. They don't know the difference between what's real and what's a video game.
Matt Hoy on this broadcast. We're continuing the conversation about what happened in Texas and what is happening in this country with guns and mental illness and way too many people, way too many children dying. We'll pick up the conversation. Your phone call still to come. I'm Dave Congleton. This is AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk KVEC. Six 18 on Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. We're spending the hour with conservative blogger Matt Hoy. You can check out his stuff at hoystory.com. We're continuing the conversation about guns. In the first segment, Matt was talking about his disappointment in the media and his belief that the media is biased against gun ownership. But now, in the case of Texas, as we come back to you, I think the government also bears some blame. The system, what it is, failed those people in Texas.
It certainly did. This was the second case in a year or so where, and the other one was that Charleston church shooting, where this guy should have been barred from legally purchasing a firearm. He had been gotten a bad conduct discharge from the military. He had been convicted of beating his wife and cracking the skull of his one-year-old son. And, you know, just the justice system, we got problems there too, because he got a year for that. And that, to me, is woefully inadequate for that crime. He escaped from a mental institution. He tried smuggling guns onto the base to use them to attack his superiors. And somebody forgets to tell the FBI, hey, this guy shouldn't have a gun. And he buys a gun. Technically legal. Well, it's still illegal, but they didn't catch him.
And I guess he bought a couple guns over time.
Yeah. It was a similar thing with the guy in Charleston, where he had a pending felony charge against him for drugs, and they just didn't get it into the database.
Now, as I tread lightly here, the one of concerns I have. I'm not even sure how to phrase it. The guy comes to the rescue. He's got a gun.
Yes.
And he was able, maybe he wounded the guy, chased him off.
He shot him twice.
He clearly made a difference.
Yes.
But my concern, Matt, is those people who support the right to bear arms are going to make this guy into a folk hero and going to use him. Well, this is what we need to do. We need to arm people, because this is what happens when you have a gun. And actually, most times, like in the Walmart shooting earlier this month, it made the situation worse because the police didn't know who was the good guy and who was the bad guy.
Well, that
your thoughts on that?
The Walmart one. So that's an interesting one. The main complaint I heard about that Walmart shooting was that when it happened, was that in Texas also? Or
I'm not sure.
It may have been Ohio. Anyways, what happened was a guy came in with a gun, shot a few people in Walmart, and then fled.
Right.
And it's in a state where concealed carry permits are more available than they are, say, in California or New York. And several people, basically, when they heard those gunshots, they pulled out their own guns and hunkered down to attempt to defend themselves. And the articles that I saw were the cops saying, look, it took us, so many hours, we had to look at the video and follow each person to determine who fired the shots. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for that complaint from the cops, because what do they want? These other people dead? The people are defending themselves. If it takes the cops a couple extra hours to figure out who's who, I don't care.
But overall, the examples have shown that when people show up with guns, it doesn't necessarily make the situation better. Because here's the bottom line. We'll make one more point here.
Okay.
I don't want to take away your gun. I want the crazy people not to have guns, but you're responsible. Craig Hill's responsible. If you're responsible, you want a gun, fine. But in return, don't expect me to carry a gun to be safe.
I don't think there's anybody on kind of my side of this issue that wants to force everyone to carry a gun.
But we keep hearing that argument, Matt, that, if people just would carry guns, that would solve the problem. And I don't want to carry a gun.
Well, they did a kind of a force on force study of what it would take to kind of defend against a school shooting. And I'm probably going to butcher some of the statistics on this. But the basic gist of it was you made a school much safer if you had between 4 and 10% of the faculty and staff who were trained to carry concealed. It would stop school shootings faster. There would be fewer casualties. There'd be fewer deaths. And you're looking at 4 and 10%. The number was somewhere between 4 and 10%. That's a lot more than we're allowed here in California. That's probably about what it is in most states that are shall issue for concealed carry permits. Is the number of people getting them is maybe around 6% of the population. And those are the people who feel responsible. Those are people who, in a lot of cases, have been victimized before,
right,
in some way, shape, or form. Expressing a desire that more people have guns to defend themselves is not... is making a statement about the shall issue in states like California and New York and parts of the Northeast, rather than it is, hey, we need to arm everybody. I don't want to arm everybody. There are people who don't have the kind of they don't have the makeup inside of them,
right? Like
to when presented with that, they're going to flee, and others are going to fight.
Yeah.
And I don't want to arm the people who are going to flee,
or the people who are going to fight, and they make things worse because they really don't know how to use a gun.
I am all for training. Yeah. Slightly off topic, you get Ted Lieu, who is the congressman from Fontana, I believe.
Assemblyman.
Congressman, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, Ted Lieu. Sorry.
L-I-E-U.
Yeah.
From Fontana, who walked out of the moment of silence.
Right.
In the Capitol for the victims of this Texas shooting. And his complaint was, look, I'm about gun safety. Ted Lieu has never done squat about gun safety. He's saying gun safety when what he means is gun control or gun confiscation.
Yeah, you're right. Congressman, you're right.
The NRA does gun safety. They do the Eddie Eagle program with kids, that reaches kids. They do training, with these NRA instructors, like the one who stopped this Texas shooting.
Right.
They do gun safety.
Right.
Ted Lieu doesn't do gun safety.
Well, the other part of it, though, is that I would submit, Matt, in any other field, being attacked by terrorism, 9/11, mm-hmm. Coal mine safety, opioids, we recognize that there is a problem and government does something about it. We have mass shooting after mass shooting after mass shooting, and nobody does anything about it. Am I being too general here?
Well, I mean, you've got people dying every day from opioid abuse, and you know,
yeah, but
the government does something, yeah. But it's not necessarily effective.
But the president declares it's a crisis, and he puts the weight of the White House behind it.
And Barack Obama did the same thing, and more people bought guns, and the rates didn't change.
Yeah, but that's my frustration, is that we have all this, and I'm not trying to make it this partisan,
right.
Republican or Democrat, government doesn't do anything to try to solve the problem. Where's the increase in mental health? Where's the increase in outreach? I'm not even talking about taking away guns. It's just, can government do anything about this issue, or are we all on our own?
I think government could do something, but I'm kind of the opinion that government sometimes tries to do too much, and when it does too much, it does worse.
Yeah.
I kind of lean on the libertarian side of things. I think it would be much better if in some of these cases, if government got out of the way and enabled local communities at the city and state level, or even, you know, smaller, to go out and reach out to these people, you know,
reach out what to the mentally ill,
reach out to the, you know, treat the mentally ill, allow local, you know, groups the option, and who can kind of come on a case by case basis and reach out to those sorts of people, rather than the one-size-fits-all that the federal government typically imposes.
And that's fine, but we could take some of the money from the federal government.
Oh, I'm all for taking money from the federal government.
We could have at least the federal government fund local programs.
That's fine as well. Mm. But, you know, the thing is, government doesn't do this stuff particularly well. These past couple of...
Let me have you stop right there, please. Matt Hoy on this broadcast. He's here for the hour. Let's check with the California Headline News. Craig Hill has traffic and weather together. We'll start welcoming your phone calls from Matt and continue our discussion. All that straight ahead on tonight's edition of the Dave Congleton Show. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We invite you to stick around 7:05. It's Buck Sexton with America Now. Up-to-the-date analysis and commentary on the news of the day. Don't forget to start your weekday mornings off with First Look. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor have you covered from 6 to 9 with everything you need to know to get you out the door. Craig and I will be back at 3:05 tomorrow with a Thursday edition of Hometown Radio. We are back with Matt Hoy. You can follow his blog and his essays at hoystory.com. We're talking about guns. We're continuing the conversation about the tragedy in Texas. But the larger issue about what's the role? Is government the answer? Is more guns the answer? I don't know. Do you? We're welcoming your phone calls now, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. We invite your participation in the conversation. Although I think a lot of people are just numb. They're numb because,
yeah.
You know, 26 people, half of them kids. Very tragic.
It's sad. And you know, you ask if there's a place for government in this. Certainly there's a place for government in this. I think the government, first off, needs to work on enforcing its own laws. You know, there's, you know, the issue with him not, you know, getting put in the database so he wasn't stopped from buying the gun. There's you know, straw purchasers where people buy guns for people who can't buy them on their own.
Yeah, that's
and
wrong.
And they get a slap on the wrist or walk.
Dirk's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Dirk.
Yeah, I'm not a gun weenie anymore. I haven't owned or fired one since 96, but I've been around a lot of churches and church social agencies for decades, and it's kind of psycho in Texas. I've run into a heck of a lot of them, and it is a mental health issue, and some of these church wackos who cultivate these kinds of characters would know. And the other thing is there are forces in the culture, who I think are leading up to the frequency of this. This topic of microaggression is worth pursuing. It's not around racial parameters anymore. It's cultural. It's just what goes around comes around. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
All right, Dirk. Thank you.
I mentioned earlier about communities trying to reach out to people. Churches do try to reach out to the mentally ill. They do. You know, it's part of their ministries. They try and bring, you know, healing to that sort of situation. This is kind of the flip side, you know, danger to it is that, you know, you may also draw these sorts of people. Now, I'm not sure. I don't think this guy was someone they were reaching out to.
Apparently, it was his mother-in-law's church.
His mother-in-law went to that church, and, you know, he'd beaten up her daughter, and her grandson cracked his, you know, one-year-old skull. He's just an evil guy. The government really, you know, can do something if it just enforces its own laws.
543-8830, 1-800-549-5832 for Matt Hoy on the Dave Congleton Show. So then where do we put the focus on mental health?
You know, I am not an expert in mental health.
Right.
I know these people shouldn't have guns. They shouldn't have access
to
guns.
But you agree this is a mental health issue. It's
I think that's the
issue.
Only way to tackle it.
Okay.
You know, the response here, you know, Dianne Feinstein and some other senators have reintroduced an assault weapons ban today. And the language for it, again, demonstrates that a lot of these people who are writing these laws don't know what the law is, don't know what they're defining is. The way they have defined it is the only legal weapons, if they pass it with the language that they've got in their little press release, would be shotguns and revolvers. Because the way they have defined assault weapons includes every single semi-automatic handgun in existence.
What kind of gun did the guy use, not the assailant, the guy who came to the rescue?
The guy who came to the rescue used an AR-15. And he said that if he had gone out there with a pistol, a revolver, or a standard semi-automatic handgun, he said that wouldn't have worked because this guy apparently had a Kevlar helmet on. He had some sort of body armor. I'm not sure whether it was the kind that most cops wear. The armor that most cops wear is designed to stop handgun rounds. It is not designed to stop rifle rounds. And so if someone's wearing that, you need to have a rifle to stop him. And he shot him twice. And the guy finally, you know, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wounds. But he was of the opinion that the AR-15 was the best thing to stop this guy.
We're welcoming your phone calls from Matt Hoy, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Do you expect anything to change out of this situation?
No. I don't. You know, you're going to have both sides yelling at each other. You may get, you know, some laws passed. Are they going to stop this sort of thing from happening? No. Because you just can't stop, you know, lone people who desire to do evil with laws. I mean, we'll pass a law that'll prevent him, you know, from getting this sort of gun. Well, we've already passed laws that say mass murder is illegal.
Right.
And that didn't bother him. So this one about what kind of gun he can have is going to cause him to pause for a moment?
So humor me, just for the sake of discussion. Now, what's the argument against gun control? The people say we got to make it harder to get guns. We got to take away guns from people. What's the argument against that, Matt?
That the only people you're going to take guns away from are those who are never going to use them for evil. Because the law abiding will turn them in.
Mike is in Morro Bay on KVEC. Hi, Mike.
Howdy, you
Hi,
guys.
Mike. Hi.
Hi.
Sometimes you don't know who the nut is that's buying the gun, and he can pass all the tests, right? And they sell him a gun, and then this guy's a nut. But they have that Minnesota personality test or something?
Yes.
Which is, okay, so now if everybody that wanted to buy a gun had to take this test, that will show you if you're kind of off. And if you don't make it, you don't get the gun.
I didn't think that test did
that. So that would help a little bit.
I wasn't aware the test did that.
It seems like it would. I mean, because I know you go in there to buy a gun, then you got to wait your 10 days, and they just check your background, check this, and, but they don't find out if you're nuts inside.
So, Mike, in your mind, you should have to pass some kind of test to prove you're sane before you can get a gun.
Yes, of course. I mean, Jesus Christ, you got a gun there that can just kill people. If you're, you know, you get upset, road rage or something or anything, and if you're off, if you can easily lose yourself, no, you do not have a gun. Another thing, Dave, you said you would never carry a gun.
I'd never carry a gun.
But I watched a movie one time, and these people were something like this. I wish I could remember the movie right now. But let's just say you were in this situation, your wife, your grandchildren, or your children, and you're there, and there's somebody in there shooting people and shooting your children and your wife. You would wish the hell you had a gun.
That may be. But you
or
don't,
somebody else would have a gun.
You don't
but
want,
you're always making these scenarios. You know, I'm just saying, I hope you never have to have that situation.
I
would like to see different. I really do believe now if we did do that personality thing there, and we just changed the law right away. But you don't want to take the guns away from people, and good people don't kill people with guns. So
that,
why take their guns away?
That I agree with.
You know,
all right, Mike.
Everybody has guns.
All right.
You know, if everybody goes down and gets a license to carry a gun, he passes all the tests and that pass there, so they know that man's not a nut. Because it asks you all kinds of questions, but you, a nut, would, you know, they'd catch him.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. So, Mike is proposing you have to pass some kind of sanity test in order to own a gun in this country.
I don't necessarily trust the person giving the test and their judgment, because... You know, you get people in those positions who are just anti-gun. And if, I mean, you've had callers come in here,
right,
including one who was a retired psychiatrist, mm-hmm, who said that everyone that he knows who owns a gun is nuts. So I don't want to put my civil liberties in somebody else's hands that way. The other thing is, you know, you've got cases, the movie theater shooter up there in Colorado. He'd been seeing a shrink, he was a known quantity that this guy was dangerous, and the shrink never told anybody, didn't alert the authorities. So, you know, even when they seem like they should know the person's a danger, it's not getting communicated to the right places to stop them.
Matt Hoy on this broadcast, his website is hoystory.com. We're continuing the conversation that we started on Monday with Lance Parker about the shooting in Texas over the weekend and the lack of response and the coverage by the media and what our own hopes and fears are. I will come back for a final segment, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. And yes, by the way, we do stream live on the internet at 920kvec.com. We also podcast, so if you missed any part of today's show, let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, he just said, this fellow said, he wouldn't want somebody, just, you know, it'd just be somebody says, you know, you're nuts and you can't own a gun. It's not somebody. It's a big test. It's a big test, and it's very many pages.
Yeah, I think I've taken that test, but it doesn't
tell you
that
guy is nuts. Not just one person. The whole world is telling you he's nuts.
So it's a standardized test.
Yes, it's a very good test.
Yeah. All right, Mike, thank you. We'll take the break. We'll come back for a final segment. This is AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Back on the phones we go for Matt Hoy. Matt is in San Luis on KVEC as we talk about guns. Hey, Matt.
Good evening, both of you.
Hey, Matt.
Hello. I appreciate the topic.
We're trying.
You know, we often hear that America is such a violent country. And our deaths, gun deaths, are the highest in the world. But if we were to take, and if we look at the 10 cities that have the strictest gun restriction laws, they are Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, D.C., and others. They're all Democrat-controlled cities that have the hugest, the highest murder rates around. But yet these are the cities that have the strictest restrictions of guns at all. And they're run by Democrats, by the way. But if we take those cities out of the equation, then we find out that our gun violence and deaths are very, very much in line with other countries in the world. And interestingly, I believe that most of the gun deaths are suicides anyway. Not that it makes it any nicer, but that we have to take that into account. And incidentally, no NRA member has been involved with any of these mass shootings ever.
I believe that's true. He's right. The numbers that they have on gun violence, about 66% of them are suicides.
But I don't understand the argument, Matt, that if we just take out all the big cities, then there's not a problem on gun violence. Why would we want to take out the big cities from the equation?
Well,
first of all, we have to. That shows that gun restrictions don't slow down the murder rate and the gun violence. In fact, if somebody knows that there are guns in my neighborhood and that people use them, that definitely will reduce the gun violence around that. In fact, so in Switzerland, for example, everybody who's been in the military, they are required after that, they're required to keep a gun at home.
Right.
And they don't have break-ins because not as many break-ins because the would-be crime perpetrators know that everybody knows how to use a gun and they got a gun. They're not about to break into that place.
Yeah.
So similarly, we should have the freedom in these cities of people having guns for their own protection. And that's, I believe, the Second Amendment right, that everybody has a right to own a gun. And in fact, it makes only common sense.
All right, Matt, good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Matt Hoy.
Yeah, it's one of the interesting things that I saw that occurred once they banned most guns in Great Britain was the number of robberies, home invasion type, that occurred went through the roof because you knew no one, you know, here in America, most of the time that, you know, when somebody's going to rob a house, they want no one to be home because people do have guns in their homes. Right. In Great Britain, they know they don't have guns in their homes, so they don't care if you're at home or not. They'll come in and they'll beat you up, and that actually went, you know, that specific crime actually went up after Great Britain banned a lot of guns.
If you want in the conversation with Matt Hoy, we need to hear from you now, please. 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. George is on KVEC. Hey, George.
Hello, Dave.
Hey,
I'd like to push a point that Matt brought up about, you know, people who are required or have guns in their homes in foreign countries. If they use their firearm to defend their property because of a forced entry, I'm certain they don't need to hire a lawyer to protect themselves. And that is a big problem in this country because certainly if you get shoot somebody and that came into your house, it's going to be a major legal expense for yourself, and that certainly needs to change.
That depends on the state. There are certain states where if you use a gun in self-defense and it's determined by a court that, or, you know, the police, you've used the gun in self-defense, you are civilly inoculated from anyone coming after you civilly. I know that's the case in Florida. I know there are lots of other states that are that way. California is not one of them.
George?
Well, and who's to determine what self-defense is? That's my concern, even though...
Well, the court would.
The court would. There you go. In other words, you as an individual walks into the courtroom and then say, I did this in self-defense and you don't need an attorney?
No, I certainly would not advise you to appear before a judge without an attorney.
See, that's my point. If somebody clearly let's say when the peace officer comes to your home and sees what's happened, I think he should make that determination right then and there and be done with it.
There are... The NRA offers something called NRA Carry Guard. There are the USCCA, United States Concealed Carry Association, also offers insurance. It's about $300 to $400 a year and they will cover you. They will pay a lawyer. They will pay to get you out on bond. They will do all of that. And I realize, you know, that's not ideal, and it's not something that's going to work for the poor, you know, a lot of the poor people.
Right.
But if you have a concealed carry permit, if you've got a gun in your home, spending $300 or $400 a year on that sort of insurance is money well spent.
Yeah.
Well, all that said, it could have been a mother with five children in their station wagon that drove her intentionally into the lake and killed the children. I understand a gun was used, but this is more about a mental illness.
I'm glad you called, George. Thank you. Anybody else? 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Here you go, Matt. This is Stanford University. Stanford Law School professor, this is last June, John Donahue found that states that adopted right-to-carry laws have experienced a 13 to 15% increase in violent crime in the 10 years after enacting those laws.
I'd have to look at it. You get a lot of that that's not necessarily well documented. There's some professors who actually not even give their data if it's somebody who's looking to debunk it.
Stan's in San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Stan.
Hi.
Hi.
If you know somebody that has a mental illness and they have a gun, I think you should tell the police or you should have it confiscated. And I'm sure a lot of people know people with mental illness. And they probably have, they may have or may not have guns. And they just don't know what to do or they don't know what the law, I don't know what the law is. But can you have a person with a gun who has mental illness, their gun taken away?
Now, this is a great question because this guy in Texas on his Facebook page, Matt, his cover photo was of his gun.
Well, and I have heard numerous cases of felons posting photos on Facebook, convicted felons who are out on parole or whatnot, posting photos of themselves on Facebook with guns. The cops see it and they go and arrest them.
But he had his ex-wife, and there's people, his mother-in-law, and everything. They must have known he had guns. So they could have, if they had known, they should have told somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just don't know the basic laws or rules.
I mean, here's a guy who was kicked out of the military and served time, and
he shouldn't have been able to have those guns. Now, the interesting thing is, and this brings me to something that I saw earlier this week on the Tribune's website, and it seems like every time there's a mass shooting in California, I see one of these articles, and it's not sourced. It sounds like it's someone from the Department of Justice who calls them up and says, "Look, there's a California law which would have prevented this."
Yeah, I saw that.
So it's not sourced. They don't get the other side. It's the worst kind of journalism, frankly. But in this one, it talks about the California's Armed Prohibited Person System, which goes and looks at databases, sees, oh, you've been convicted of something. Yes, we see you've got guns registered in your name. We're going to come and take them, which is as it should be. Couple problems. First problem is sometimes they screw up. Sometimes the crime for which the person was convicted of doesn't disqualify them from owning guns.
Right.
Possession of a marijuana roach in 1968.
Right, but to Stan's point, if you know someone has some mental problems and also know that he or she has guns, should you report them to the police?
I'm fine with somebody making that phone call. Here's the thing, and there's a lot of mental illness advocates who will point this out to you. Because you're mentally ill doesn't necessarily mean you're violent. Doesn't necessarily mean you're a danger to yourself or anyone else. There are plenty of mentally ill people who are very pacifistic.
All right.
But there are some people who are depressed and they commit suicide, and we got to prevent that too.
No, I understand that too. Here's the thing about that article that was in the Tribune earlier this week. It says in 2015, the state attorney general's office said more than 2,000 weapons were seized under the program. Great. The state estimates there are more than 20,000 prohibited persons in California in control of more than 43,000 firearms. What the heck is the state doing? Why aren't they going crazy getting these guns away from these people?
We're out of time. I can't answer that. Stan, thank you. Good call. Matt Hoy, nice job. Check out the website at Hoy Story, H-O-Y, HoyStory.com. Final thoughts here about guns.
The NRA gets a lot of flack for saying a good guy with a gun is the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun. And this Sunday, that's what happened. And the guy was an NRA member, and he was an NRA instructor. And the reason why the death toll wasn't even higher was because he ran out barefoot with an AR-15 and stopped him.
Thank you, Matt. I got to stop you. Thank you, Craig Hill. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Dave Congleton. Have a good night.